Romans chapter 14. How many of you have ever been taught that something was sin, but you can't find it in the Bible? Anybody? Paul addressed that. And let's read a little bit. He says in verse 1, "Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things. Another," look at what Paul writes here, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. "Another who is weak eateth herbs." Okay? Now we're talking about eating bacon back there, right? Paul said that the problem is there are things that we attach some spirituality and some sanctified dignity to, and we say, if you do this, you sin against God. But God never said that. That's a problem. It's a problem when any church does that. And by the way, not just a church, there are a lot of churches, that's their dogma, but Christians. I've told you about my good friend who got saved, and he would look at somebody, maybe somebody would cuss, and he'd say, "Well, he can't be saved." Only one problem with that, not what the Bible says. The Bible says you can sin, and that God, by his grace, through the blood of Jesus, forgives our sin. He also says that when we sin, there are consequences. But what we need to understand is that not everything that we have been taught as sin is sin. There's a difference between preference and truth. Now look, I'm very old-fashioned. There are a lot of things that I like, and there are a lot of things I don't like. There are things I don't like Christians to do. There are things I don't like in church. But we as a church and as Christians individually and independently must stand on the truth and not on our preferences and not on tradition and not on that's how we've always done it and that's what we've always taught and that's what my preacher taught me when I was growing up. Look at what he says. If they're weak, him that is weak in faith, receive. He said, accept them. But he said, don't let it turn into just a debate and a debate and a debate. Not to doubtful disputations. He said, guys, why do we always look for something to fight about? Why are we always looking for something to pick on? Looking to criticize somebody. He's learning. He's weak in the faith. He's new in the faith, maybe. By the way, maybe he's not new in the faith. Maybe he's been in church for 50 years. But his church taught this thing that's not in the Bible. And so you know what that makes him? According to the book of Romans in chapter 14, it makes him weak. It means he's learning, but he's not learned. He's not wise in the things of the Bible. He's afraid that everything is sin. He's afraid that everything offends God. He's afraid if he eats that steak that maybe somebody said some blessing over it or committed it to some god or some sacrifice. And if he eats that, then he'll be participating in some false worship. No, you know what it is? It's just meat. It's just meat. That same fellow I was talking about earlier, he went to some kind of a museum or a restaurant or dinner theater or something down in Kissimmee, and he said he saw those gargoyles and all these different kind of statues. And he said, oh, I just felt the presence of evil. Well, look, I love my friend, but that's weak faith. That's weak faith. You know what that is? It's just a concrete gargoyle. It has no value. It doesn't chase off demons and it doesn't attract them. No, superstition is what it is. And the problem is that we get so caught up in the cultural superstitions and the cultural traditions and the cultural norms that we attach some holiness to something that doesn't belong. And we attach some evil to something that was never evil. And we need to look at what the Bible says. Does the Bible forbid it? Does the Bible say it's bad for you? And if it doesn't, walk cautiously. Have an opinion. How many of you have an opinion? I usually have two. We have opinions. That's okay. Just understand that when you're standing on an opinion, you're not standing on the Word of God. When you stand on the Word of God, that's solid. When you're standing on an opinion, it may or may not be right. When it comes to disagreements over what the Scriptures teaches, there's always three possibilities. You're right and I'm wrong. I'm right and you're wrong. Or both of us are wrong. But if we disagree, we can't both be right, can we? There's a chance one of us is. There's a chance neither one of us is. So we have to be mindful about what the Bible teaches. That's why it's so important to read the Bible, to study the Bible. And even in church, guys, when a preacher gets a hold of the Bible, sometimes he injects his opinion, doesn't he? Doesn't he? He says, this is wrong. Get up there. I've been in churches where they preach about everything except what the Bible talks about. And they're against everything. And that's okay to be against it, but that's your opinion. Don't make me out to be some criminal, some sinful, evil, unholy, ungodly person because you just don't like it. If the Bible doesn't speak on a matter, it becomes a matter of preference and here's the shaky ground, cultural acceptance. You see, there are things that have been accepted by the culture. There are things that have been considered holy and Christian and right and wrong by culture. And so if I spend my time doing those things which are wrong in front of people who think they are wrong, then it's going to hinder my ability to reach those people. We were speaking of a matter prior to church this evening, but you see the difference in that situation is addressed in the Scripture. It's very plain that what that fellow did is wrong. It's not a matter of opinion. What he did was wrong. And so we're not talking about just not judging anybody. We're talking about knowing the difference between what the Bible says is wrong and what we say is wrong. And what the Bible says is right and what we say is right. Verse 3, look at what he says. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. You know, this is one of those big things now. We could best relate it to the mask thing. You know, guys, if you want to wear a mask, wear a mask. And if I want to wear a mask, I'll wear a mask. But I shouldn't criticize you for wearing one. You shouldn't criticize me for not wearing one. Plain. I know that people want to criticize people for not wearing a mask. And then, by the way, other people want to criticize people for wearing a mask. But how about this? How about you wear what you want to wear and I wear what I want to wear? If I want to wear a hat with a feather in it, mind your business. Who art thou? Look at verse 4. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holding up, for God is able to make him to stand. He said, why does it matter to you? Why does it matter? I see him over there drinking. He ought not be drinking. Well, the Bible preaches about getting drunk. And by the way, I don't drink. But let's be careful about what we talk about. Let's be careful about what we condemn. Well, you know, the book of Habakkuk says, it speaks about getting drunk. It does. The Bible talks about it. The Bible's against it. The Bible says, be sober. That's what the Bible says. I remember Paul wrote something to Timothy about a little wine for thy belly's sake. By the way, you know, the Bible tells the pastor he's not supposed to drink, doesn't it? The Bible says no wine. He doesn't say that for deacons, does he? Deacons. I'm not saying you should drink. I'm just saying that we have taken such a stand on it that when anybody touches any alcohol, we condemn them. And let me say this. Let me just throw a little caution out here. You may be one of those who has the DNA propensity that if you start drinking, you won't be able to stop. And that's like a rattlesnake. You need to stay away from it. Amen. And so I'm not saying guys go out and drink. I'm not saying that. I'm saying the Bible says moderation. I'm saying the Bible says to the pastor, don't drink. Let's say what the Bible says instead of creating our own doctrine, our own dogma. He says, One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regards the day regards it to the Lord. He that regardeth it not, not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. He eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and he still gives God thanks. You know, people in my circle, some of the circles I run in, will just criticize you and jump on you if you say Happy Valentine's Day or Merry Christmas or Happy Halloween. And everybody wants to say, do you know what the original or the origin of Halloween was? I tell you, a five-year-old doesn't care. He wants to wear his Batman outfit and carry his little bag around and get some candy. He doesn't care where it came from. He's not out there worshiping devils and sacrificing animals. And yet people get so choked up on, oh, you got a Christmas tree. And I can tell you something, there's been lots of churches where that's been a big fight, that somebody put a Christmas tree in the building. I don't mean at the altar, I mean in the building. And people are preaching against it. What did Paul say? He says, if you want to celebrate the day, celebrate. If you don't, don't. Why do we choke on things like, because that kind of stuff will hurt churches and tear up ministries and hurt people. We're not here to hurt people. We're here to help people. We're here to point them to Jesus. And so he says, you want to celebrate Thanksgiving? Celebrate it. Is it in the Bible? Sure, the idea is, the date's not. Christmas? Jesus wasn't born in December. But he was born. I can assure you, the Bible says he was born. People want to fight about that. Why? Paul says, then make every day the same for you. And we won't judge you if you don't. Don't judge us if we do. None of us, look at verse 7, lives to himself. And no man dieth to himself. Guys, the things we do affect other people. It does. And so whatever we do, we have to think about not only what it does for us, but what's it doing to others? What's it doing for others? How's it going to impact others? Every decision that I make in my life, big ones and little ones, I have to think about the church. I have to think about how will this affect the church. Guys, I mean silly things that shouldn't matter. I bought a 10-year-old truck and I had to think, well, who's going to get mad that I got a new truck? It's not a new truck. 10 years old. It's the oldest truck I've ever bought, but I had to think, what will people say? Shouldn't have to, but I do. I live in a glass house, like it or not. Hey, by the way, if you don't like it, move out of the glass house. That's all I can say. Any pastor out there that's mad because his church is going to question him or somebody in the church is going, then just get another job. Go sell shoes or sell gas or something. Because if you don't want to be criticized, this is the wrong business to be in. You got to have some tough skin. And some good friends in the church that'll back you. I probably told you about that deacon I had. We had a new, he was a preacher, but he came in first business meeting, men's meeting we had. And he interrupted me in the mid-sentence, and my deacon jumped up out of his seat. And I'm talking about a 75-year-old man, and he got in that man's face, and he said, don't interrupt my pastor when he's talking. He never did again. You got to have some good friends in the church. None of us lives to himself. Everything we do affects other people. Whether we live, verse 8, we live to the Lord. Whether we die to the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. Our lives affect others, and our lives reflect on God. People don't just look at this church and say, or look at your life and say, well, they go to Capitol Heights. They look at your life and say, oh, that's a Christian right there. That's what a Christian does. And it's awful. It's awful. When something happens and it tarnishes the name of the church or it tarnishes the name of God. Because, guys, what we're in this for is to reach people. I want people to get saved and go to heaven. That's why I'm here. I want people to live in the fullness of the Christian life and experience the fullness of God on earth. Guys, we don't have to wait to have a good time when we get to heaven. We can have a good time here. We can be happy here. We can be full here. We can be anointed here. We don't have to wait to get to heaven to enjoy all that. And that's why I'm here. But I know that there are some things that I could do that would hurt that. There are some things that would hinder that. Some of it because the Bible says don't do it. We definitely shouldn't do those. But some of it because the world says Christians shouldn't do that. Even though the Bible doesn't say it, they have an opinion. And so I have to walk a little bit further across the line because I want to be able to reach people. I want to be able to minister people. Look what he says in verse 10. Why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set at naught thy brother? He said, what's the pleasure we get out of criticizing and judging other people? He said, why? And when he says set at naught, you know what that means? It means to cast them out, to abandon them, to disown them. He said, why do you want that? Why do you want to find something wrong with somebody so that you can't love them anymore? And by the way, I see this in marriages, not just in churches, not just in friendships. I see this in marriages. Always picking, trying to find that one opportunity. We talk about somebody getting fired. Somebody was giving me a story the other day about somebody. I said, well, they were looking for a reason to fire her anyway. This just became the reason. But they were looking for a reason. Now, why would we do that? Why? What pleasure would we get out of that? The end of verse 10 says, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, look, I'm not going to run around and say, you can't judge me. I got one judge. No, that's not going to be me. I know that we discern and we decipher and we judge. I know we do. We look at people and we say, they shouldn't do that. And we need to have judgment and we need to have discernment. By the way, how can we tell a good person from a bad person if we don't have discernment, don't use judgment? We've got to be able to tell the difference. But when it comes to things that are not already written, isn't that interesting? You know, in the context of the Constitution, there are lots of things that we might need to decide if it's right or wrong. But if it's not expressed in the Constitution, what does the Constitution say? It says we leave it up to the states to figure that out. It's not our job to figure it out. It's up to the states at that point to figure it out. And so here, God, through Paul, is saying, there are some things that are written that we know are right and know are wrong. And anything that's not written, we're going to leave that up to Jesus to figure out. We're going to let the Lord decide. So what do we have? I don't want to wait till I get to the judgment seat and the Lord says, you never should have done that and you did it every day of your life. I would rather, by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, through the anointing of God, as a child of God, that through my prayer life and my listening to God, that God convict me of it. And God say to me, don't do that, because then I know it's wrong. Not just because Sister Bertha better than you says it's wrong. Or Brother Nosey says it's wrong. The subject here is not defined sin. The Bible says a sin is sin. But when you say it's sin, doesn't make it sin. When I say it's sin, doesn't make it sin. You say it's wrong and I say it's wrong, that doesn't make it wrong. That means it's my conviction that it's wrong. And so what did Paul say? Paul said, and look at how he says it, in verse number 5, let every man be fully persuaded of his own mind. And here's what he says. He says, Derek, if you think it's wrong, don't do it. Because here's the problem. If you think it's wrong and you still do it, then you're wrong. In your conviction, God's convicted you of it and you do it anyway, then you're wrong. Verse 12. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. I'm going to stand before God one day. By the way, you know that the Bible says teachers, that's what I'm doing, are held doubly accountable. I will stand before God and pay double the penalty. I will answer for that with double the charge if I'm wrong. Because not only was it wrong for me, but I taught people. So I'll answer for it under double the penalty. It is written, verse 11, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. By the way, I won't answer for you, and you won't answer for me. Jesus, on the judgment seat, is not going to say, Derek, would you come up here and take the chair for a minute? No. I'm not going to judge you, and you're not going to judge me. Not how it works. God is God. Jesus will sit on the judgment seat, and we will answer to him. We will give an account of ourselves. So that tells me that I need to live right according to what I see, what I believe, whether it's in the Bible or not. You know, there are some things that I observe that are not strictly Scripture because I think they're right. I think they're proper. How many of you think you're going to answer to God whether you said yes, ma'am, or no, ma'am? Or if you just said, uh-huh? How many of you like that, uh-huh? But you see, I'm not going to answer to God for that, am I? Because that's preference. That's preference. Let's just be careful how we say, well, that's against God. That's unbiblical. That's against the church. Is it? Is it really? Is that what the Bible says? Let me challenge you on something. Next time you get ready to call somebody out on something, know what you're talking about. Know where to cite it. Rather than finding fault, look at verse 13. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or occasion to fall in his brother's way. Rather than judging people, why don't we think about just not tripping them up? Why don't I work on me and you work on you? Isn't that a great idea? Because if every man sweeps in front of his own door, the street will be clean. Each one of us. Remember how they built the wall in Jerusalem when they went back and built it? Every man, he'd build his house, and when he built his house, the outside wall would be part of the wall. And then they just had to join between. You see, every man did his part. Every family did their part. I know, look at verse 14. I know and am fully persuaded and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. So there are some things that we are convicted about or we don't like. Okay, don't like it. But I can't impose that on you. And you shouldn't impose that on me. Difference of opinion, difference of preference. Again, the subject is not defined sin, rather the difference of standards and preferences. We need to avoid behavior that offends others because that will hinder our ministry and it will hinder our ability to reach people. But look at what he says here. If thy brother, verse 15, be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. So somebody comes along, I used to have a member of the church in Orlando, and she'd say, you know, she doesn't eat pork. She said, I don't eat pork. I don't think people ought to eat pork. Okay, then I won't eat pork in front of you. Right? That's easy, isn't it? Why cause somebody to stumble? So if you know that somebody's offended by something, don't do it. And, you know, there are people that have a lot, they're against a lot of stuff, aren't they? And it's hard to be around them because they're against everything. But he says we got to be careful that we walk charitably. We try to observe their preferences and their presence. Did you get that? Observe their preferences in their presence. But it doesn't make it wrong for me to do it. But it does make it wrong for me to do it in front of them. Think about that. That's what he's saying. It's what he's teaching. Verse 17, the kingdom of God, so verse 16, he said, let not then your good be evil spoken of, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. He said, these things don't matter. Jesus said these things don't matter, right? He said, it goes out in the draught, goes out in the sewer. But the kingdom of God is righteousness, So that's me in my walk with God, in my relationship with God, in my observation of Scripture. What I believe they teach and what I believe it says, I mean, it's right there in black and white. It shouldn't be hard to figure out. Righteousness and joy and peace. Peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what our lives should be about. God did not bring us together to make us the sin union, the judgment union, the criticism union. Excuse me. He didn't bring us together so that we could sharpen our ability to be critics. He brought us together so that we could learn to be holy and joyous and peaceful. Now that's what he says right there. For he that in these things serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Our desire is not only to be right with God. That's number one, yes. But God saved us to reach others. And if we alienate everybody because we don't like what they do, we don't like what they say, or on the other hand, they don't like what we do, they don't like what we say, then how are we going to reach anybody? It may not be sin, but we've got to walk that line charitably. But when it comes to our judgment, our observation of others, we need to know when we say it's wrong that the Bible says it's wrong. Because that's our standard. It's not wrong because your mama didn't like it. It's wrong because the Bible says it's wrong. If it's your preference, understand that's what it is. But that doesn't make it everybody's standard. Let's stand. Father, we do love you so much, and we're thankful to be in your house. And God, as Christians, we really do. We want to serve you. We want to make a difference. We want souls to be saved and lives to be changed. But unfortunately, through the years, we've been taught some things that, well, they're not even biblical. And so help us to be true in our judgment. Help us to be true in our correction of others when we do approach them in a loving and charitable way, to tell them that what they are doing is unbiblical, that it's wrong with you. God, help us to know that it's in your word and not just criticize others based on our opinion and our preferences. Lord, mostly, I pray that we'll be able to reach people, teach people, show them the way of the gospel, and show them the way of life. Dismiss us now with your grace and with your favor. God, we pray for our country, for those in our military, those on the front lines. We pray that you will draw us all to you and forgive our sins. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.